All right, thank you ladies so much for that, and what a blessing it is to hear them sing scriptural songs, scripture songs, and it's a blessing. It's a joy tonight to introduce to you our very first speaker. Brother Philip Blackwell was saved as a 15-year-old boy while attending public school. Early one morning before school began, they had a preaching time, a teenage preacher boy in their homeroom class preached. And Philip Blackwell heard the gospel, got saved, and surrendered his life to preach the Word of God. He served there in the church at Faith Bible Baptist Church in Century, Florida, under Brother Gene Stokes, and came off up to this part of the country to go to Bible college. He is a 2003 graduate of Trinity Baptist Bible College. We're proud of Brother Blackwell. He pastors the Salem Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Brother Sheffield, this is the young man you want to see and give your address to. Brother Sheffield has a family member living in Cincinnati that he's been burdened about, and that's a blessing. It is a joy to have tonight Brother Philip Blackwell. He's going to come and preach to us at this time. Listen on purpose.
Thank you, brother. All right, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter number 23. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. While you're turning there, let me say to Brother Smith and to the church here, thank you so much for the investment of your money and everything else that you've done for the school. I know it's a sacrifice to have a Bible college. I know when I was here, we didn't have that many students as y'all have today, and I know the school then didn't break even. I don't know if it's breaking even now, probably not, but I know it's because of your faithful giving and following the man of God here at the church. And listen, I thank you so much for your sacrifice. I'm glad you got a preacher with a vision that seen a need for a Bible college that teach young men the Bible, the Word of God as it is. And I thank God for y'all. Thank you so much. Let's all stand. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. I'll preach and I'll get out of the way here. 2 Samuel chapter number 23, if you'll look with me in verse number 8. The Bible says this in 2 Samuel 23 in verse number 8. The Bible says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tekmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, and the same was Adino, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time." Verse 9. "And after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop, where a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Let's pray. And tonight I'm just going to preach simply on the subject. It's just a bean patch, okay? Lord, I pray tonight as we begin to look into this verse of Scripture, Lord Jesus, I pray tonight you'd empower me, and God, give me, Lord, just the ability to preach, God, as you put on my heart. Father, I believe there's something here you'd have for your people, and God, please use me as you see fit. Lord, I pray that, God, there are Christians here tonight that may be discouraged. I pray that through the preaching of the Word of God, Lord, that you'd encourage them in the work, God, so they'll continue keeping on serving you. And God, I know there are people tonight, God, that may be lost in the service. I pray tonight would be the night of their salvation. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this school. And God, we thank you for this church. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When Israel, the nation, was young and men simply believed God and stood courageously against overwhelming odds, we see that God calls them to overcome victoriously. In this passage of Scripture, we read of three of the mighty men of David, but tonight I just want to focus on one of them, and this man's name is Shammah. Many times when we think of the heroes of the Bible, we think of men like Moses, we think of men like Daniel, we think of men like Joshua, we think of men like David who did great works for God in mighty ways, and sometimes many many times these people like this are passed over in the Scripture. But tonight I want to look at this man, and I want to preach on the subject. Well, preacher, it's just being patched. Now, we're living in the last days. There's no doubt about it. We're living in times when people don't want anything to do with the Word of God or with old-fashioned holiness. I used to call it standards, but I found that it's holiness in the Word of God. It's just old-fashioned holy living. And let me tell you, God's people today need that more than anything else. But we're living in a day and age when they say, preacher, preach something to me that tickles my ear. Preacher, preach me something that encourages me and lifts me up. And when all we really need is a preacher to get behind the sacred desk and preach to us the Word of God and show us our transgressions and help us get right with God. Hey, I thank God I sat under a man of God who wasn't afraid to tell me when I was wrong. I thank God I sat under a man of God who was faithful to the Bible. When I grew up, Michael Jordan was not my hero. Mike Tyson was not my hero. My hero was my preacher. Amen. I'd see him get up and throw an old-fashioned Baptist fit when he preached. I remember one time he preached, Brother Michael, you were there, I believe. Boy, he got to preaching on tithing that some people in the church wasn't tithing. And a member of the church brought two beautiful offering plates. And boy, as he got preaching, slobber was going everywhere. He jumped on top of the communion table, grabbed the plates, and he threw them down and busted one of them to all the pieces. And then he said, well, the Bible says you go two by two, so he threw the other one down. And there are a lot of people that got mad over that. But let me say this about him. He was a man that stood for God. A lot of times he stood hard and harshly, but he was a man that a young preacher could look at and say, boy, that's a man of God. And I thank God for that. But in this passage of Scripture, we come across Shammah, the son of Agee the Hararite, and we notice here several things about this passage of Scripture. First of all, we notice his name. His name was Shammah, which simply means there. It carries the meaning of a monument or a marker. It declares a place of no retreat and no compromise. Boy, if we're ever living in a day when we need that, it's today. God's people are compromising everything they can about the Word of God. We just need some old-fashioned Christians that just believe in old-fashioned Bible and just live the old-fashioned way. Hey, we don't need all the newfangled things they have out there today. We don't need all the new things going on in the church. We don't need the bouncy ball screens. We don't need all these things. All we need is a blessed old book, and we need an old-fashioned preacher to preach to us the Word of God. Let me say, you ought to thank God tonight you've got a preacher that'll tell you the truth, even though you may not like it. I remember last Sunday in church before I left, last Sunday a man was talking to me in the church, and we had just a little meeting there that previous Thursday, and I was trying to be a blessing to preachers in the area, independent Baptist preachers, so I sent them a letter and I called them on the phone and I told them, why don't you come over to the church, our church of Fiji, and we'll have a time of preaching, just encourage each other in the Lord. And I remember I was sitting there, and the first guy got through preaching, a man come up, tapped me on the shoulder, he said, I want to sing. I said, okay. You know, I figured, and it's my fault, I should have asked before he did it, but he said he wanted to sing. I said, okay. I said, I'll get somebody to set up the microphone. He went and sat down. And I went back there. I said, do you need a piano mic, right? He said, no, I've got something I'm going to put in the tape player back there so we can have some music. Well, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'll tell you how I feel about it. If I won't have it on the platform, I don't want it coming through the speakers. And I was sitting there, and I said, man, I need to listen to that tape. I don't know what's on that thing. So I went down, and I took it downstairs, and I listened to it. And I asked that preacher to step outside with me. I said, brother, can you step outside with me a second? I want to talk to you. He said, sure. And I said, brother, I can't have drums in my church. Boy, he got mad at me. His face turned real red. He said, boy, he was an older guy, so he kind of took offense that this young preacher's not going to let him do something that he thought was okay. And he said, listen, you need to study your Bible and see what's in the Bible so you can know what you ought to have in your church. I said, yes, sir, I will. I'll study my Bible, but we're not going to have that in our church today, okay? So you just go in there, enjoy the service, and have a good time. Well, anyway, he made a smart remark to me when he went and sat back down. And I, young preachers, we have problems getting mad. I said, listen, brother, you can do what you want to in your church, but when we're in this church, we're going to do as I feel. And he said, well, I think I need to leave. I said, well, there's a door. Listen, I'm tired of this attitude. They think because you're a young preacher that you're a compromise. People come to my church expecting to have a preacher that tickles their ears, but sometimes I say things they don't like. But listen, what we need is old-fashioned preachers that preach the Bible as it is without compromise. See, Shammah means a place of no retreat, a place of no compromise, and that's exactly what we need. We need some people that will just be there and stand where God stands and not falter and not waver. A lot of times people say, preacher, well, if you change here or there, we could do more. But listen, the Bible tells me in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. See, it's not my truth to change. It's God's truth. Christ taught it to Paul in Galatians 1:12. Paul taught it to Timothy. Timothy taught it to others. And those others taught it to others. And others taught it to others. Then my preacher was taught. And then my preacher taught me. It's not mine to sell. And I've got to stand by what the Bible says, whether it causes people to like me or not to like me. So we see his name means shaman. Number two, we see that the Philistines were gathered together in a troop. Now this was a serious situation. This enemy of God's people gathered together to destroy and to take back land that the children of Israel had. And there was one man that stood in the field and said, I'm not moving one bit. He looks around and everybody's gone. The people he loved, the people he respect, the people that worked with him and served with him. He looked around and they were gone. He was standing there all alone. Listen, friend, I tell you this tonight, that you and God do make a majority. You don't need everybody else. All you need is God. And you need to stand where you stand, even if you stand there alone. I read something by Spurgeon. Now, I'm not too smart, and I don't get very much out of Charles Spurgeon. I'm sorry. I read through it, and I don't understand what he's saying half the time. But I was reading through one of these books that he had. I tried to read so I could say I read Spurgeon, you know, to be a big preacher, right? So I was reading through this book, and I found one quote I could grasp. He said this. He said, what I believe, even if I believe it alone. Boy, I tell you what, that's what we need. We need some Christians that believe what they believe, even if they have to believe it alone. Can I tell you, people look at you the way you raise your children, they'll say, fanatic, nut, you've lost your mind. You got your kids every time the door's open in church. Well, I'm the preacher. I think I ought to, amen. You know what? I think you ought to as well. Listen, I thank God for some godly people that love the Lord, even in the face of adversity. Shama said, I'm not moving. And I can just imagine, can't you imagine, just like people are, hey, it's just a bean patch, what's the big deal? Hey, it's not a big deal, just back off just a little bit, let them have that piece of ground. But Shama understood that it was not his to give away, it was an inheritance that he had to give to his children, and his children had to give it to his children, and he had to stand the ground. The necessity said, I cannot move, even if it's popular or what pleases people. He said, I'm going to stand there. Now, can you imagine, if you will, what they said? They said, preacher, it's just the blood. Preacher, it's just the Bible. What does it matter if they read different versions? Well, I'm not too smart, but if you read two things, call themselves a Bible, and they both say something different, they can't be both be a Bible. Amen. You don't have to have a PhD. See, the enemy was overpowering. They gathered together. They had a plan. But Shama said, I'm going to stand there. Notice the Bible says that after him was Shama, the son of Agee, in verse 11, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. He was there alone. The enemy was organized. It was in a troop. The enemy had a purpose, and that was to get back ground that was given to the children of Israel. And the people fled. The majority deserted the cause. But Shama said, I'll stand and I'll fight. You know what we need? We need Christians that'll stand and fight. We've got this bad idea about what Christianity is. It's wicked and it's ungodly. Well, you think a Christian ought to just be a pushover. No, sir. I believe a Christian ought to be a gentleman. You ought to stand for ladies. You ought to open their doors. You ought to be nice and kind and like the Lord would have you be. But listen, that doesn't mean you're a pushover. I believe Christians ought to be meek. But that doesn't mean you're a pushover. A lot of times people say, well, a Christian shouldn't act like that. I tell you what, our Lord got mad, didn't he? He got a little upset over some things. There were things going on at the temple he didn't like one bit. So he went over there and flipped things over and beat the devil out of people. Well, that's not very much like Jesus, is it? Sometimes my people look at me like I've lost my mind. But let me tell you this. The responsibility is too great. The cost is too high. Well, preacher, it's only a hymn line. Well, it's only a slit going, you know, just a little bit above the knee. See, there was a piece of ground there, and he said, I'm not leaving, I'm not fleeing, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to do what God said. And you know what? The majority disobeyed their command. You look in the Old Testament, they should have stood and fought. They should have fought. They shouldn't have given in to Philistines. You know what most Christians do? We immediately give in to the Philistines. Our in-laws say, well, y'all not live like that. And we immediately give in to the Philistines. Our friends say, hey, you lost your mind. But you know what we do? We give in to the Philistines. You know what we need to do? Stand up, say, forget it. I'm not moving. Listen, you can move, you can change, you can do whatever you want to, but here's where I stand, and too bad, so sad. I'm not going anywhere. And I tell you what, we need people like that. You know, There have been greater men than I that have done a lot, that have done some things that I've questioned. And I know this, but by the grace of God, there go I. But let me say this. Some people say, well, don't say what you're going to do. I'd rather somebody say what they're going to do than not say anything or do anything. Amen. You know, I'd like to live my life where at the end of my life I can look back and say, I fought a good fight. Amen. And that I finished my course. I want to be able to say at the end of my ministry that I made full proof of that ministry. I want to see God do something. If I'm going to see God do something, I've got to do it by the book. If I'm going to see God move, it's going to be by the book. Now, if I want to get a crowd, I can get a crowd. Get you a little praise team, a 7-Eleven chorus. Get you some drums on the platform. You'll get a crowd. But listen, the Cincinnati Bengals get a crowd every week, but they're not a church. See, God needs some old-fashioned churches. But listen, you can't have an old-fashioned church without old-fashioned people in the church. It takes more than just a preacher. It takes God's people saying, I'm going to stand where the preacher stands. I'm going to support the preacher. Let me say this. Somebody comes to you talking ugly about the preacher, tell them to shut up. I don't know if I should say that from up here, but I'll say it. Tell them to shut up. Tell them to shut up. Tell them they ought not be doing that. The Bible says an angry countenance, it drives away that kind of garbage. Look mad. They talk about him, get mad. Look mad. They'll shut up real quick. But listen, the majority disobeyed the command, but that did not stop Shammah from doing what he was supposed to do. You know what? There are people that I love dearly. People who've taught me the Word of God. People I went to Bible college with, Brother Smith. People I respected. Didn't stay with the stuff. I know some old preachers that I love dearly. I would do anything I could for them. But you know what? I can't fellowship with them. Going a different way. You say, well, you'll get in that thing and you'll change it. No, sir, they'll change you. Amen. I'm afraid that's what we're trying to do in fundamental Baptist churches. That's why we're not called fundamental anymore. We're starting to be called evangelistic. We're evangelicals. No, we're fundamentalists. There's a difference. See, Shammah stood in the midst and defended the lintel or the bean patch. He accepted his duty. He stood. He accepted the location in the midst. He accepted the assignment, the bean patch, the lintel field. And he just stood. You say, preacher, what can I do? Well, the Bible says, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. When you've done everything you know to do, all you can do is stand. When people don't understand, when people separate from you, all you can do is just stand. Here and I stand, even if I stand alone. But notice what happened. Boy, I'm not serving a God that can't give us the victory tonight. I serve a big God. Amen. I serve a good God. I've had people tell me, preacher, you're not going to build a church the way you do things. If I build the church, I won't. If Christ builds the church like he said in his word, it'll get built. Amen. But you know what? I serve a big God that's able to do something. Notice his strength. His strength wasn't in himself. His strength was the Lord. Notice the Bible says the Lord wrought a great victory. Notice the success wrought. There was work involved. Heard a man say one time, he said, pray as if it's all up to God, then work as if it's all up to you. That's a good formula. A lot of preachers sit on their laurels and say, well, I'm just going to trust God to do it. Well, you better get out and get busy if you want to see God do something. Because God uses people. Amen. Notice the size. Amen. I don't serve a God that just gives a little victory. Notice the last two words in verse 12. Great victory. You know what Ephesians 3:20 says? I quote this a lot because I get discouraged a lot. I know some of you may never get discouraged, but I get discouraged a lot. People don't like me and say things about me, and I get discouraged, and I have a little pity party, so I have to go to certain verses in the Bible. So I go to Ephesians 3:20. That's one of my favorites, and it says this, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power is that? That's his power. Listen, we don't serve a little God. We serve a big God. And you know what? If we're faithful to that big God, he'll do something with us. Now, we may not run 10,000 in Sunday school, amen? But he will do what he wants us to do, and he'll bless as he wants to bless. Notice the subject. Thank God there was a victory. Can I tell you, the Bible's still true. God's still good. And he's still able to do. I'm afraid we poor mouth God so much. Well, man, just everything bad's happening. Nobody wants to hear. Listen, there's one that wants to hear. Just keep knocking, you'll find that one. People don't like that, but stand where you stand. See, the majority weighed the value of the object of the fight, that little bean patch, and decided that it wasn't worth the fight. How do you see the fight? Is it worth it? Is it something that you see and you live your life for? Now, I don't know what that fight is, but there's a fight of faith that you've got to fight. There's a certain will of God that He has for your life, and you've got to be faithful to what God's called you to do. And let me say this. Stand in your bean patch. People will say this. It's just a bean patch. Just a little field full of lentils. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is this. God gave it. And herein we stand.